In its latest report, the Greater Louisville Project examined concentrated poverty. That's the idea that poverty is not just a money problem, but a multidimensional problem that stems from a combination of low income, few jobs, poor education levels, and bad health. The next Louisville series is a partnership between 89.3 WFPL and the Community Foundation of Louisville. In it, we'll explore issues affecting the communities with the highest rates of concentrated poverty in the city, places like Portland, Russell, and Smoketown. Some children in these neighborhoods come from families who already struggle with things like food insecurity, a lack of educational resources, and spotty access to medical care. But inequality follows children even to their playtime. According to WFPL's Ashley Stevens, a lack of safe, accessible playground space can also affect how kids from these neighborhoods grow up.
Hello, my name is Phyllis Atiba Brown, and I'm here at the Spradlin Urban Development Center.
Brown is in the kitchen of the Smoketown Daycare Facility, a small concrete building decorated with wooden cutouts of Rugrats characters and animal posters. She's making trays of macaroni and cheese and chicken tenders for the dozen or so kids who are staying late into the evening. They're here as part of a new program called Smoketown Synergy.
We started it last year when the Presbyterian Community Center was sold to the Board of Education, and we kept getting the runaround about who was going to do what and where our kids were going to meet. And we decided to open the building in the evenings so that the children would have somewhere to go.
Brown says when she was a kid growing up in Smoketown in the 1960s, that wasn't really a problem.
You could go out your door, go to the playground, play, and you didn't have to worry about strangers and danger.
But a lack of accessible, safe playground and park space is the reality in the neighborhood, despite new housing developments. The area used to be home to the Shepherd Square Public Housing Complex, which had a lot of problems. But Brown said the old projects did have several playgrounds.
They almost had a playground every other block where kids could congregate, play on the swings, had open fields for ball games and those kind of things.
Now there's brand new mixed income development on the site. It's an improvement in a lot of ways. But Brown says while there's a lot of open green space, it's not necessarily being used by neighborhood kids.
But with so many homeless people, we have maybe three or four transition houses in this area, and they move around. They put them out at a certain time, and then they have to be out until it's time for them to come back. So they literally walk the streets, and a lot of times they take up residence in the open space that the children are supposed to have to play in.
The closest large park to Smoketown is Shelby Park, which is a nearly 20-minute walk, so it's not really a viable option for younger neighborhood children.
They have one other park on Caldwell Street called Ballard Park, but it's not really equipped to hold very many. I think it has maybe three swings and a slide, a half of a basketball court. So that's about all we have here in the Smoketown neighborhood.
Major construction is underway tonight on a massive public parks project for
Cherokee,
Louisville,
Seneca, Iroquois, and Shawnee Parks, all designed by...
Let's be the best in the world with our parks.
Louisville is a city that prides itself on parks, and when you visit many neighborhood parks, you totally understand why.
From cycling in Cherokee Park to the clay tennis courts in Chickasaw and the sports...
But when you start taking a look at parks all over the city, not just the big ones like Seneca and Cherokee, there are obvious correlations between neighborhood income and park quality and access. There are a lot of factors at play, but wealthier neighborhoods tend to have more and more updated parks, while poorer neighborhoods have fewer parks, many of which need maintenance. This is the case in the city's highest areas of concentrated poverty, in places like Portland, Russell, and Smoketown. And for some, like Phyllis Brown and the kids in her Smoketown daycare, it can almost feel like you live in a completely different city from the residents who really love their neighborhood parks. National nonprofit Trust for Public Land has ID'd some areas in which Louisville falls short.
My name is Charlene Cabe. I work for the Trust for Public Land, and I head up a practice group called the Center for City Park Excellence.
The Trust for Public Land scores city park systems on several factors, including park acreage, a city's per capita spending on parks, and the percentage of a population that lives within a 10-minute walk of a park.
Yeah, objectively, where does Louisville fit in? How are we doing?
Sure. So unfortunately, you're toward the bottom. You were ranked 96 this past year.
That's out of 100. Louisville's low rating is based on, among other things, playground availability and park access.
And the biggest challenge that you have is really in spending per resident. And what we do is we look at all the spending from public agencies, and we look at a three-year average. And the spending per resident is about $50 per resident, which is much lower than, say, the highest, which is Minneapolis at $233 per resident.
These figures don't factor in spending by the nonprofit park sector. More on that in just a bit. But this tight budget limits what Louisville can spend on park projects and maintenance.
This is Boone Square Park.
The lack of resources is evident to Danny Syme, especially at Boone Square Park.
This is the one we come most often. I live about, well, two blocks over there.
Syme, who is not related to the Kentucky State Senator with a similar name, moved to Louisville's Portland neighborhood about a year ago with his wife and their toddler. He says there are some great parks in the community, like Lannan Park, which recently got a makeover. But Boone Square Park needs some work.
There are some areas where, you know, instead of repairing the railing, they just conveniently tried to hide it with shoe goo and paint, it looks like. This is once a beautiful corkscrew slide, I'm imagining, that's now a walk the plank with a makeshift, looks like a kid's crib was kind of slapped in there to keep kids from thinking there's a slide. That's kind of rough.
As we're driving away from the park, Syme says it's not just about the trash or outdated equipment. He says the facility also borders on filthy at times, and safety is a concern.
That bathroom in particular is rough. Multiple times there's been someone sleeping in the overhang. I mean, it's not like we've never seen a homeless person before, but they're usually pretty obviously coming down from something, some substance, and they're kind of in the throes of this freak out period, and, you know, we leave and they're kind of being belligerent.
It's a tough situation. And like Syme, Louisville Metro Parks Department officials say they feel the effects of a tight budget too, especially spread out over the entire city.
Metro Parks and Recreation is responsible for over 120 parks, and we're also responsible for 14 and a half miles of parkways. But in our parks, in our 120 parks, we have about 180 playgrounds, swings, sliding boards, play spaces.
That's Deputy Parks and Recreation Director Marty Storch. He says these play areas range in size and amenities. Some are just a swing set and slide. Others are much larger. Storch says there is routine maintenance scheduled for both the parks and playgrounds. And about 6 years ago, the Parks Department formed a dedicated playground crew to focus solely on basic playground inspections.
We did it without enhancing our budget. It was a budget-neutral thing. But then we had a crew that was focused solely on playgrounds. And they were evaluating them. There's about 10 routes that they go.
Ideally, every playground in the city will be inspected every 2 to 4 weeks. That takes care of basic safety and maintenance, but it doesn't solve some of the playground's equipment problems. Storch says they keep a running list of the play facilities throughout the metro area that are in need of updates and try to budget accordingly. But in some parks, the money that could be spent on new equipment instead goes to something else. Vandalism. Louisville parks have an average of about 100 vandalism reports each year, with repair costs soaring over $100,000 some years.
It's senseless. It's taking away, as I talk about, the valued assets of our community. Would you do that to yourself? Would you do that to your property? And think about that. This is everybody's property.
Another problem is litter, especially in higher trafficked parks all across the city. In June, recording artist and Louisville native Bryson Tiller teamed up with Nike to renovate basketball courts in South Louisville's Wyandotte Park. Neighborhood residents lined the sidewalks screaming for Tiller while some kids stood by with basketballs ready to test out the new nets. Here's Tiller at the dedication.
I ain't gonna lie, man. The last time I was here, you know, every time I come to Louisville, I just drive past, you know what I'm saying, drive past on Taylor Boulevard. And I used to just see this court, and I'm just like, yo, man, that court, it looks terrible, you know what I'm saying? It's trying to do something to that court, you know what I'm saying? So.
But less than a week later, Louisville activist Christopher 2X posted a photo on social media, showing the brand new courts covered with trash. Storch says this is a problem in all Louisville parks, and one that's totally preventable.
I always say litter is one social issue that we can solve. It really is. I mean, if you think about it, it's not hard to teach people to put their garbage where it belongs.
But there are success stories, too, like Victory Park in the California neighborhood. Over the summer, the park received a $1 million investment for a complete redesign. That includes a new basketball court, walking course, open fields, trees, and new lighting for nighttime security. The funding was from Louisville Metro Government, private donations, and the Olmsted Parks Conservancy. The Conservancy is a nonprofit dedicated to raising money for the 18 Frederick Law Olmsted designed parks in the city. And this partnership is one way Metro Parks stretches its budget, along with relying on volunteers and fundraisers. Disparities exist among Louisville's public parks, big ones. And part of why that matters are the long-term effects that no access to parks can have on kids. The American Association of Pediatrics has released several comprehensive studies on the importance of play in promoting healthy child development. Dr. Chris Rangelian is a Philadelphia-based pediatrician who took those findings seriously. His hospital partnered with the Parks Department of Philadelphia to create a new program called NatureRx, which encourages doctors to literally prescribe unstructured outdoor playtime.
There are probably reams of studies and papers that show these benefits, but I'll summarize them for you.
Rangelian says the first benefit of outdoor play is physical health. Studies have shown that kids who have more access to outdoor play space are more likely to develop active lifestyles, which can lead them to becoming healthier adults. The second is developmental health.
That includes motor skills, problem solving, things like self-control. When kids play outside with each other or with their families, they also develop skills in communication and negotiation with those other people.
Rangelian says another major benefit is that children who spend more time outdoors have better mental health outcomes.
It's pretty clear that they experience less stress, improvement in their moods, their attention, and their behavior.
Rangelian says a child's access to safe outdoor play spaces can help start them on the path to becoming socially adept, healthy adults, the kind of people that will make positive contributions to a community. So, how can Louisville increase access and improve the quality of parks across the board? There are already some initiatives in play. A big one is Waterfront Park West, a planned 22-acre expansion west of 10th Street. That will increase access to parkland for many Louisvillians in the city's western neighborhoods. The Waterfront Park Master Plan was approved by Metro Council in 2015, and the city allocated $950,000 in last year's budget for planning and land acquisition. As of this summer, the city has acquired all the land it needs and is fundraising for development right now. But lots of smaller, less expensive projects would also help improve access to parks in other neighborhoods, like Smoketown. Back at the Spradling Urban Development Center, Phyllis Brown surveys the group of about a dozen kids, ranging in age from preschoolers to elementary school.
A lot of these children are in single-family homes. Parents don't have the luxury of being able to take the kids to the park.
Moving forward, Charlie McCabe from the Trust for Public Land says an easy step for Louisville is signing agreements with the school system to allow public access to existing facilities. This would formally allow the public to use school playgrounds after school and on the weekends, something that Brown said would help her neighborhood kids.
So for a parent to tell a child, go outside and play, that means they're just going out to open space. And when you walk up and down the development that is not a part of the housing authority, that's what you see a lot of. You see a lot of either teen girls walking in groups or teen guys walking in groups, even young kids as young as 10, 11, and 12 walking in groups.
She says they just need somewhere to go. I'm Ashley Stevens in Louisville.